This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was 432 and three quarters, up 20 and three quarters. May corn, 440 and three quarters, up 20 and a half. July corn, 447 and a half, up 19 and three quarters. January soybeans were 1303 and three quarters, up 7 and a half. March soybeans, 1278 and a half, up 4 and three quarters. May soybeans, 1260, up 5. March wheat was 569, down 15 and a quarter. May wheat, 575, down 14 and a half. July wheat, 580 and three quarters, down 13 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Friday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Friday afternoon. Today at 11 o'clock, the USDA released the final estimates for the 2013 crop. December 1st corn stocks were 10.426 billion bushel, which was up almost a third more than the December 2012 report. But was at the low end of the trade expectation. December 1st soybean stocks were 2.147 billion bushel, which was the second smallest soy stocks since the 2003-2004 marketing year, and was below the average trade estimate. Winter wheat plantings were below the trade estimate, but global stocks were way above, and the report was supportive for corn and soybeans, but not so much for wheat. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 19 to 21 cents higher at 404 to 429. Soybean bids were 5 to 6 cents higher at 1257 to 1282. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 19 to 20 cents higher at 405 to 430. Soybean bids were 2 to 6 cents higher at 1278 to 1306. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 20 to 21 cents higher at 410 to 431. Soybean bids were mixed at 8 below to 5 above at 1285 to 1322. Wheat bids were 15 to 25 cents lower at 554 to 597. Now on to the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids. They were 5 cents higher at 1284 to 1314. The basis remained steady at 5 to 35 over the March. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 453.60 to 458.60 per ton, and that was down 70 cents, with the basis steady at 40 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 18 to 21 cents higher at 433 to 445, with the basis steady to 3 cents lower at option to 12 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 17 to 21 cents higher at 418 to 428, with the basis steady to 4 higher at 5 to 15 under the March. Soybeans ended 5 to 8 cents higher at 1299 to 1322, with the basis steady to 3 cents higher at 20 to 43 over the March. New crop wheat prices were down 14 cents at 556 to 564, with the basis steady at 17 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids at 19 to 23 cents higher at 450 to 451. These elevators raised the soybean prices 2 to 5 cents with quotations of 1344 to 1349. Soft wheat closed 12 to 16 cents lower at 603 to 604, and Milo ended the day 19 cents lower at 482 to 483. Now on to closing contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn was 413 to 428, soybeans 1050 to 1087. In the central part of the state, corn was 416 to 433, and soybeans were 1062 to 1083. In the southern part of the state, corn went from 414 to 438, and soybeans 1065 to 1099. Wheat ranged from 537 to 551. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And now, here are your closing prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were $136.70, up 15 cents. April live cattle, $136.97, up 10 cents. June live cattle, $130.25, up 12 cents. January feeder cattle were $168.65, down 50 cents. March feeder cattle, $167.65, down $1.17. April feeder cattle, $168.55, down $1.07. February lean hogs were $85.82, up 57 cents. April lean hogs, $91, up 27 cents. May lean hogs, $98.87, up 40 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 10th's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 92 cents lower in the range of 74 to 77.40, with the weighted average carcass price of 76.54. And from the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 to $4 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 52 to 58, 4 to 5 weights 54 to 64, 5 to 550 weights 58 to 66, and 550 and up 62 to 67. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts of country buying points were trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $52 to $55. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 18,138 head. And now the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction for January the 9th, they had receipts of 276 head, and starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 136.75 to 141.75. Select and choice steers were 128 to 133.50, and choice Holstein steers were 126.50 to 130. Select and choice Holstein steers were 120 to 124.50. And choice heifers were 136.50 to 142. Select and choice heifers were 130.50 to 133. And onto the slaughter cows, they had some breakers, average dressing 93.50 to 97. Boners, average dressing 81.50 to 89. High dressing 93 to 96. And leans were 59 to 67 for average dressing, and 73 to 74 for high dressing. Slaughter bulls were bringing $94. Now on to the Carthage sale. They had a special CAB calf feeder calf sale. Trade was very active for very good demand, especially on reputation 6-weight cattle. They had receipts of 1,575 head. And starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, 3 weights were 221 to 228, 4 weights were 193 to 218.50, 5 weights were 189.50 to 209, and 6 weights were 198 to 202 for a set of fancies, and regular 6 weights were 188.50 to 196.25. 7 weights were 164 to 177. Onto the feeder heifers, medium and large. 3 weights were 195 to 197. 4 weights were 180 to 186 with some fancies at 199.50. 5 weights were 169 to 184. And 6 weights were 166 to 178. Now on the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report. Steers on a live basis traded at 138.41 and on a dress basis 220 to 222. Heifers on a live basis traded at 137.50 to 139.50 and on a dress basis 218 to 222. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 367 loads traded calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $84.05, and that was 59 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $214.61, and that was $2.56 higher, with select carcasses at $211.48, and that was $2.43 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 106,000, which compared to 123,000 last week and 111,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 417,000, that compared to 415,000 last week and 423,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And now, here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. January and February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.30. January and February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.21. January beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.18. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.08. January wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.73. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.30, corn at Scottville is $4.21, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.18, and wheat at Scottville is $5.73. When you hear of bioinnovations throughout the world, you probably think of pest resistance, herbicide tolerance, drought tolerance, or something similar. But what about glowing? BioGlow, a biotechnology company in St. Louis, has created the world's first glowing plants, which they've named Starlight Avatar. I spoke with Alex Kraszewski, BioGlow's research director, about these interesting plants.
Starlight Avatar is actually the world's first glowing plant, and it glows on its own. Just to give a general preview of what we're talking about, there were plants in the past that were made to glow. However, you have to spray them with different chemicals or sprays to a very faint glow for a very short time. So those were basically applications usable for labs and not for general market. And there are also several different products, for example, glowfish, that are sold to general public. However, those have to be illuminated with black light to see them glow. In our case, the plant glows on its own. You don't have to spray it with any sprays. You don't have to use any UV lights or anything. It just like firefly glows on its own.
And does it always glow on its own, even from when it's a seedling?
Oh yes, it glows all the time. The glowing effect is engineered inside plant's DNA, so it's a natural part of the plant. Now, one thing I need to emphasize: we call the plant Starlight Avatar just to give right perspective to how strong its glow is. This glow, it's not yet as bright as your nightstand. It may require a few minutes of adaptation in the dark to start seeing it, because it's relatively faint. With this said, it's a very far cry from the first plant that we developed several years ago and we published in PLOS One, a scientific journal. In that case, in this first plant several years ago, you had to be for about 10 to 15 minutes in a complete darkness to start seeing them. So in the past 3 years, we worked to improve the glow, and we actually managed to improve it anywhere between 10 to 100 fold. And now the plants are much brighter, so people can see them much faster.
And you said that this is a genetic trait in the plants. Where did this genetic trait come from?
That's a really good question. You know, there are multiple glowing organisms in nature, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with them, like fireflies or glowworms, and they're essentially close to 30 different light emission systems in different organisms. And the only commonality between those is that they all emit light and use oxygen. Otherwise, they all evolved from different sources. So, for example, firefly glow has nothing to do or completely different from glow for jellyfish. So one of the most abundant organisms that glow is marine bacteria. They present essentially in any ocean or big body of water. So if you ever went on a cruise or went swimming in the ocean, I'm sure you had very close encounter with those. So what we did, we took the luminescence system from bacteria and put in a plant, because we think that this is the best suitable mechanism for using a plant.
And why did you guys decide to develop glowing plants?
Well, you know, when I started this company several years ago, I used to be a professor in the State University of New York. I was thinking about picking something that is one of the less wild ideas that I had. And this idea had from probably mid-90s. And, you know, even then, it took me quite a while to convince my peers that it would be something workable. So I just picked one of the things that I thought was going to be pretty cool. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely very interesting. And I like that you said it was one of your less wild ideas. So where do you see this going in the future? You said that right now it's kind of almost a faint light, kind of like starlight. It's not going to light a whole room. So where do you see the future of glowing plants?
Correct. So you know, we actually, during the past years that we worked on this project, we found that it may have actually several different applications in different industries. One, of course, is ornamental plants, and that's our first market that we are entering. And let me ask you, what was the biggest innovation that you heard about in the last 100 years in ornamental industry or horticultural industry or ornamental plants?
Oh, I got to say, I'm not sure. In the last 100 years?
Yeah, probably not much. Probably just different color of petunia or different color of rose that somebody managed to breed.
Right.
But that's as exciting as it got so far. So, you know, this industry has been existing for many, many years, probably, you know, thousands of years. But there wasn't too many drastic and important changes that would really revitalize it. So we're hoping to revitalize ornamental industry in the United States and bring probably bring more of young people to enjoy our products.
Right, that could be a really interesting market. I'm sure a lot of younger people will hear glowing plants and just get really caught up in how cool they think it is.
Yeah, especially, you know, the fans of the movie Avatar. They have the whole glowing forest in there.
Oh, yes.
So ornamental plants, and we actually produced already several species of ornamental plants. The Starlet Avatar is just the first one. And we hope within the next couple of years to produce multiple additional species which will be brighter and probably different colors. And in the long run, it's also possible, however, a little bit technically challenging. We intend to produce plants that have differential glow. For example, leaves glowing green color and the petals glowing red. So that will be, we think it's going to be a very interesting addition to ornamental industry. The second part to it is actually transportation and lighting. Once we get plants to glow much brighter than what we have right now, and we'll have it in, say perennials like hostas or woody ornamentals, you can actually light up pathways and driveways with them. Imagine if you're coming home from day of work and instead of having lights in your driveway, you could have just glowing hostas on both sides.
The best thing about that would be you never have to worry about the power going out.
Correct, and it will come and glow every summer all over again. So that's the second application. And the third application, actually, for agriculture. I know if you heard about it, but there is this new branch of agriculture called precision agriculture.
Yes.
That's becoming more and more prevalent, you know, taking photos from drones or even satellites to get an idea of what's going on in the field. And we're sure that this is one of the biggest innovations that's going to be coming to change agriculture in the country within the next decade. However, one of the issues with this new industry is that you can only receive very limited data from these images. You can follow up maybe rainfall or soil humidity, but plants themselves don't tell you very much. So one of the things we have developed already is plant sensors. They basically light up in response to environmental or other cues. And this can be very useful, for example, for farmers. Let's say you're a farmer and you're farming corn or soybeans. And there is a pest in nearby county, a fungus or another pest. And so the farmer has a dilemma. On the one hand, this pest can eventually be blown with wind or by other means to his field and destroy the field, which bears a great risk. And so the only solution that exists in there is just basically spray pesticides before time to prevent the pest from spreading. But pesticides are expensive. So what we're trying to do, we hope that we're going to be able to develop plants that will react to, for example, pests or stress very fast, essentially within hours. And so the farmer would not have to go and and spend a lot of resources and time on prevention when it would not be needed, rather than react very quickly when problem occurs and take care of it very swiftly.
So essentially, when a stressor is affecting the plants, they would glow to let the farmer know that something is happening, something is wrong.
Correct.
Wow, I'm sure that would be a really nifty thing to see in the fields, just driving along and all of a sudden, oh no, the corn's glowing, better go out and spray something.
Well, actually, you know, we were thinking that it doesn't even have to be at the level where a person can see it, because even the faint glow, when it's emitted by a plant, can be picked up by a sensor.
Right.
So even the plants that we had, say, 3 years ago could be very much feasible for that. And you know, you don't even have to have the corn to glow. All you have to have, you can have sentinel plants, which are not corn plants. For example, some kind of ornamental, but which is affected by the same pest or the same stresses as corn. So it won't even be in the corn itself. It's going to be in some plants that you can probably plant around your field. And if you see anything happening, you'll know that the same thing happened to your corn.
Again, that was Alex Krzyzewski, Research Director of BioGlow, a biotechnology company in St. Louis. Again, if you're interested in learning more about Starlight Avatar, you can visit BioGlow's website at bioglowtech.com. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.